what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable. That's right, the Roundtable is back. I, of course, am Tommy. The other half of Gaming Uncensored is Jamie. How you doing, man?
It still freaks me out when you open the show, dude.
It's like, a weird thing.
Once a year, and it's really like, now you're doing it for this, and I'm like, sitting over here, I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
Sitting there twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah.
But the big news today is it's not just us, which is good, because you're going to hear from other people, and so we're joined by our boy, The Cabbage, who's been around forever. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Cabbage.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And we're also joined by our boy Josh, who is in Australia and is up really, really early. How you doing?
Hey, I'm really great. I'm trying my best not to laugh there before my introduction, so but I'm doing great.
Good. Josh, also been a listener for basically the entire run of the show, and so awesome to have you both here, not only awesome people and great fans, but also people who have been around Gaming Uncensored, I mean, as long as Gaming Uncensored's existed, and so, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, glad to be here. I think it is, we're trying to work it out. I think it was since 2005, so that's 11 years now, which I've been feeling a little bit guilty about, because it's, I've just realized that every couple of weeks I get to hear you guys talk and hear all about your lives, and it's been a completely one-way relationship there. So hopefully it feels good to finally be able to rectify that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's super cool to hear from y'all. This is a blast, and I'm looking forward to this every month and getting more people involved and everything else.
So. Part of what makes it so cool is that we get to deal with you guys all the time. And I'll never forget one of the weirdest Skype calls I ever had with somebody. I don't even remember who it was. It might have been Hampton. I talked to Hampton one time on Skype. He asked to talk to me. And I was on Skype for about 2 minutes, and he's like, dude, you sound normal. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he's like, on the show, you sound like a complete raving loon. And that's why the Howard Dean Boogie is so funny, because I sound like Howard. So it's cool for us. We talk to you guys all the time, but it's cool for us to be sitting here. I don't have a beer. I wish I did.
Right.
but it's cool for us to be sitting here just talking about stuff, because to be honest, and this is what we talk about when we beg for segments on the show, this is the kind of show that we want. We want a show with a lot of interaction with people, and not just Tommy and I talking for 2.5 hours. You know, every couple of weeks. So the idea of the roundtable is really cool, and I'm really glad that we're finally getting to get it done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And so just the really quick rundown of how this is going to work. We have a topic we're going to talk about every month. This week's topic is virtual reality, and so we'll get into that momentarily.
Boy, that was a stretch.
I know, right? That was a tough one to come up with. That was tricky. So obviously been big in the news, and we've been talking about it for literally years now, and so it'll be a fun one to start with. But we're going to come up with different topics every month, and so if you guys have topics, anybody participating has topics want to hear about, let us know. But it's going to be about half an hour. We're just going to have a little discussion format, and we're going to have a good time with it. And so all that being said, let's start talking about virtual reality. So Cabbage, what do you think of virtual reality?
Well, it's kind of crazy, because I remember when it was first coming out, which what is this, only like a couple years now that it's really started picking up, I want to say. I mean, I know the Oculus had been in development probably longer, but I only remember maybe 2 years ago that people were actually starting to talk about it. And at first, to be honest, I was like, yeah, it's gimmicky, it's stupid. But I think everybody kind of started there. But everyone that I have heard from that either owns both the Oculus and the Vive or whatever, they all have turned around. Like, I have not heard of anybody that hasn't at least been like, oh, okay, I see the potential. So that says a lot. because we've had other gimmicky things like 3D movies or whatever, and that just died. Like, it's just nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they still make 3D movies, but they, you know, the major TV manufacturers or whatever, they don't really seem to be pushing 3D like they used to, because clearly...
And that's the thing, is you can buy a 3D TV, but why? I mean,
there's just not really much. It's a super enthusiast niche thing, which I think VR is still in, but it's clearly going to head out of that. I think PlayStation VR is going to potentially blow the lid up, at least a little bit. Maybe not make it like huge, you know, everybody goes out and buys one. But the fact that that's $400 and everybody else looks at the other stuff and it's like, not only got to spend $600 to $800, but then you got to have a PC that's like $1,100 on its own just to be able to run it. You know, that $400, if you already have a PlayStation, it just works. That's going to be huge.
Yeah. Same question, Josh. What are your just kind of thoughts on VR at this point?
Yeah. Pretty similar. I've been watching it for a while. And I got to say, for the most part, I've sort of been on the sidelines and sort of in regards to the hype train. I hadn't been aboard it. I was paying a lot of attention to it. Was pretty intrigued. Could definitely see the potential and thought, you know what? For a long time, I thought, you know, I don't think it is a gimmick. I think it is going to be revolutionary in the gaming industry. But it's one of those things. It's really, as you guys have said before, it's really hard to describe, and it's really hard to demonstrate just with a movie or a video. And I felt before, it really is something you have to experience yourself before you really sort of feel it, and you get it in your brain, and you're like, yes, this is going to be fantastic. This is what I have to do. In regards to the PlayStation VR, I agree with Cabbage. I think that's going to be what really brings it into the mainstream, not necessarily from a tech standpoint, but just the fact that all it requires is a PS4, and that already gives you it's just a gateway to the consumer market. So many more people have a PS4 than they do a gaming PC, or let alone a gaming PC capable of running VR. You know, so it's exciting, and
And we've talked about it a lot, about the different price points and that kind of stuff. But I was telling Tommy before we got started that I've actually started looking into some investing and buying some stocks and that kind of stuff. Never really done that, but I'm finally getting the opportunity to kind of look into that. And I was looking at stock prices yesterday. And the Oculus stock price is like $4.32 per share, like so I could buy, you know, $1,000 worth of Oculus stock and have a pretty good chunk, and you know that's going to go up. If I look at HTC, you know, they've got the phones, they've got everything else, and so their stock is much higher. But it got me thinking, obviously, PlayStation VR is the entry point. That's where a lot of people are going to start. But Oculus is the next level up, and the Vive is the premium. So on the PC side, I think there's going to be a lot of people picking up the Oculus just because it's cheaper. I think everybody that I hear from says the Vive is far and away the best.
Yeah.
And we had a segment on the last show that kind of reiterated that. But I'm wondering if people are going to pick up the Oculus just because it's the next cheaper option. And I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that.
I'm unsure whether or not how much the price will play into it, and how that compares to sort of the name. I feel like a lot more people know the name Oculus, just because it's been around the longest, and you know, it has so much of a backing before anything was even released. It already had a huge backing. But as far as price goes, it's, you know what? There's a part of me that thinks maybe that the price isn't something that's got going for it. A lot of people I've spoken to who have tried both, and they've mentioned that the level of immersion which the Vive provides, it's such a level above the Oculus that if you're already spending thousands of dollars on your gaming PC plus the extra money on top for Oculus, it's not really that much more to spend a couple extra $100 at this point and get the maximum experience.
Yeah, the Oculus is $600 and the Vive is $800. Mm-hmm. So, but currently the Oculus Rift does not have the touch controllers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't have.
But they are coming.
They are coming, but yeah. I'm assuming it's an additional price, even if you already have a Rift. Do we? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't remember if we found out what that price will be.
I don't know it off the top of my head. I know it's coming in like October.
to be close to the Vive, the Vive. So, I would say the same thing. Like, I already have a PC that would be able to run either one. So clearly I'm invested in PC gaming. So if I wanted to take the leap, you have to go with the Vive at this point. It's kind of just worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything I hear, the only thing I hear is a negative, is that a lot of people find it, some people find it extremely uncomfortable after, you know, extended play sessions. But for some people, it's not as bad. It's probably just some people, you know, have bigger heads or whatever.
Right.
Or smaller heads, and it doesn't fit as well on it. I don't really know how well it adjusts, but yeah, I mean, that's what I hear. But then, you know, the other end of the spectrum is the PlayStation VR is like super comfortable. So it's funny that the least expensive is not maybe as designed for comfort yet. I mean, or the other way around, the most expensive isn't. But this is like the first or whatever version of Vive we have, so I guess we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'd probably go with the Vive.
Yeah, I think that's probably the smart bet at this point, for lots of reasons. Just curious, have either of you had a chance to try VR in any capacity?
I have not. I have been curious to see if a local Best Buy has a setup like you experienced. But no, I have.
Sorry, Cabbage, go on.
No, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. As I said earlier, I hadn't for the longest time. But as of last weekend, I was actually at a friend's place who happened to have an HTC Vive. So I spent quite a few hours with the HTC Vive on a rig with the full room scale setup. And it was actually running a GTX 1080 as well. So the experience was just butter smooth. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. So what did you play on that?
I spent most of my time actually with the what's it called? Is it the lab? The experience that Valve actually provided, and it's a bunch of mini games actually that in a way, you know, it is to introduce you to VR and the concepts and the way in which the HTC Vive incorporates the hand controllers and the room scale. But it was a lot of fun. And from this point, I knew, you know, as soon as you experience VR, like I've bought my ticket, I'm on board the hype train now. It was just phenomenal. I was quite blown away actually with the Vive at how smooth the tracking with the hand controllers was, and the way they're designed, it really does pull you into the immersion of the experience. So for example, one of the experiences was like an archery mini game, where you walk around like on top of like a castle wall, and you got to shoot some invaders coming in. And the way in which, you know, one hand holds the bow, the other hand draws the string back and releases it, and it just felt so natural and so fluid. And with the room scale on top of that, being able to walk around and have everything respond to your movement, it's just absolutely phenomenal. Really blew my mind. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's to me, that's what gets me about all of this, is that, like you guys said, everybody that has played with it has been turned around on it. Like, I don't think there's any doubt at this point that it's here to stay. And that's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just the idea that what we have right now is first generation, and it's already good enough to have people go, yeah, I'm buying it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't... there's no, like, mass exodus of people saying, oh, I'm disappointed, I'm selling my Vive. I'm sure people have, but probably at not a rate that matters.
Right.
Everybody that gets it holds on to it because they're all so interested in what's going to happen.
Yeah, and if you try to sell one right now, you're going to make some good money off of it.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
A lot of demand out there too. So, curious, Josh, how did you find the comfort level of the Vive? Because that's the one that I haven't tried yet, and that's the one that I've heard the most about being uncomfortable to wear.
I found it okay. Again, I haven't tried Oculus, and nor have I tried PlayStation VR. So I don't have any. There was no benchmark to compare it to.
Sure.
But I used it for several hours, and I didn't find any sort of discomfort at all. It was comfortable on my head. My eyes felt fine as well. I don't wear glasses. Whether or not I can't comment on the compatibility with glasses wearers, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I have a bit of a big head, so maybe if your head's bigger or smaller than mine, that may play into it. But I didn't have any issues at all, so no complaints there from myself.
HTC used your head as the model for.
Yeah, they must have, because I must be right in that sweet spot.
It's a good thing. So what are you guys really looking forward to from VR? Start with Cabbage. What has you super excited about the potential of it?
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of the stuff that seems the coolest to me would be, and this, of course, this is where VR is almost something you want to get into with friends, possibly in the future, because a lot of the stuff that I'm super excited about is the multiplayer stuff where maybe it's like it's a virtual board game environment, where you're looking around, you're seeing the avatars of your friends represented, and in front of everybody is the same board, and you're just physically moving. Now, that kind of stuff could also be done with, like, the HoloLens, which people don't really talk about anymore because Microsoft doesn't really do anything with it, even though I think it's super cool. And that's more AR than VR,
sure.
But still, it's, you know, manipulating a virtual environment. So, I've been recently getting really into Magic the Gathering, and I was just thinking it would be really awesome if they somehow, whether it's HoloLens or straight up VR or whatever, have a game that it's either Magic or a ripoff or whatever of it. You could even do it with Hearthstone, though maybe not in exactly the same way, but just to, you know, physically seeing.
Or Gwent.
That would be better.
Gwent would be amazing.
But yeah, if you could just have 1v1 or whatever it could be, and you just literally seeing. You know, whether it couldn't really be the real person, it'd probably have to be an avatar of them sitting across from you, and you're physically reaching down sort of with the controllers and moving the cards, tapping cards, doing all that, drawing cards. That might sound kind of like a simple idea, but I think that could be a great entry thing to do to get a lot of people into it. That would be one thing in particular.
I used to play Magic a ton, and everybody I played Magic with doesn't live near me anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's why I stopped playing. It's just the people that I played with, either I moved or they moved or we both moved or whatever. And so, yeah, that would be awesome. That's a super cool idea.
And it's like we've been talking about with the PlayStation VR, I think most of the benefit that Tom and I are going to get from the PlayStation VR is... in using SharePlay. I'm just playing that SharePlay works because, you know, he can pick up the controller and I can sit there with a visor on my head and I'm watching as he goes through. That's to me, and maybe because we've just gotten through with E3 and gotten to spend some time together, sitting and playing games with him, that's more fun than anything that I could do. So if you could have that in a virtual environment, even if somebody else is holding the controller and you're just spectating, that seems awesome to me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Josh, same thing to you. What are you really looking forward to?
You know, I think it's just the new experiences. I think there's a lot of creative space available for people to come up with new ways to experience games. Just the immersion and the way you can put yourself in there. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. I'm quite looking forward to, as you guys have said, the multiplayer and interactive experiences. A lot of the stuff is quite solitary at the moment. So I think it'd be great to see when we start to come up with some experiences that involve different people and the ways at which we can, you know, come up with some unique ways to interact and explore a particular environment. That'll be really exciting.
Awesome. Very cool. Did the Star Trek game appeal to either one of y'all? Either of you Star Trek fans?
Well, yeah, big enough a fan to find that really interesting.
Sure.
The kind of thing with, like, I've heard a lot of people say it, even you guys probably said it, like that game, if that game released is not VR, probably no one would care.
Right.
It's the fact that you're in there, because the whole point of VR really is that, oh, I'm experiencing this in a level that, you know, I couldn't in real life. It's like you're there. You know, mm-hmm. I don't have the money to have someone build a Star Trek set around me and hire actors that all look like the cast. It's like that's never going to happen to most people ever. The fact that you can do that in VR, yeah, anything.
Although I have to say that somebody won the Mega Millions jackpot last night, and so somebody's got the cash.
Because that's what I do.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you gonna do with that $1 million? I'm gonna build a Star Trek set.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear on the evening news. Yeah,
it'd be amazing.
That like outfit their apartment or whatever, and it just, you walk in and it just looks like, you know, the command deck or whatever.
Yeah, but it brings up an interesting point. Is VR, the novelty of VR, cool enough that it can take essentially what is a button mashing sim, which is what this kind of Bridge Commander thing feels like, and make it cool? Because like, I'm pumped about it, and you're absolutely right, like if it wasn't VR, it would be the stupidest sounding game I've ever heard of. But just because it's VR, I'm like, oh yeah, this is awesome. Like, why haven't we already done this? This sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I think it certainly does let you get away with maybe a bit more of a shallower gameplay mechanic than you would otherwise be able to. But hey, that's cool. Once you're in there, it just amps it up to 11. You really would feel like you're on the Starship Enterprise, and I'm all for it.
is that something that you think could become a liability for VR in the not so distant future, if everybody kind of starts relying on that? We don't have to be super innovative just because the technology itself is innovative.
Of course, it probably is a liability. Hopefully we can sort of let market forces encourage a bit more creativity. So hopefully, you know, I have no doubt that there is going to be a bit of a small flood of games which do just take advantage of the gimmick of VR. Hopefully the more creative people will take advantage of it to come up with innovative new experiences, and people will respond in turn by buying their software. So
with what we already see on the Vive, I would say that we don't really probably have to worry about the market just becoming cheap things that are, you know, essentially just gimmicky, silly stuff that hardcore gamers won't really care much about, because that stuff's going to happen anyway, because it always does. But based on what we already see, people are trying to do interesting things beyond just novelty stuff. So,
yeah, I think that's fair. I would concur on that, just from kind of what we've seen. Any big worries that either of you have about VR, like outside of that, but anything else that you think could really make it not viable long term?
I don't know about not viable. One of my concerns is, and you guys have touched on it a bit in your discussions the last few weeks, is that I think it is going to be difficult to apply VR to not only to existing games, but also to existing game concepts. So, for example, FPS, while the room scale is great, you can move around, and the teleport feature is absolutely necessary. I don't know how you could really apply that to an existing, what our concept of a FPS game is. Particularly, I'm curious to try an Oculus and just sort of play an FPS game and move with the thumbstick to move the character around. I think there'd be quite a disconnect there between the movement your eye perceives and the movement that your inner ear sort of corresponds. I think that can create a bit of a nauseating experience. Likewise, I actually tried a I think it was Project Cars, a racing game with the Vive. And that one, you know, it's not room scale, so I was sitting down for. And even just the movement in a racing game, particularly if you're moving, you know, up and down hills and elevation changes, the disconnect between what you're seeing and what you're experiencing, unless you had sort of a motion chair or one of those big expensive rigs that could simulate that, it really does not work the best at the moment. So I think probably one of the biggest challenges is coming up with ways, new ways to play games, because I think the old, it's not just going to be a plug and play situation for our current genres of games.
Well, and my worry with the Vive, just talking about the same thing that you just touched on, I'm sitting in a chair. Like, I can set up the room scale, but it's not going to matter. I mean, I guess I could move my chair a little bit, but
yep.
For the most part, I'm sitting still. And so how are those the segment that we got from Duff the other day where he's talking about getting down on the floor and looking under stuff, like, how is that going to translate for somebody who is seated? And I feel like that's going to be really weird. But we'll see. Yeah.
Definitely. I can definitely see that.
Yeah, anything?
Yeah, mine kind of mimics what Josh is saying. Like, it is... generally, the concerns are related to, I mean, even just the, I've heard some people that own the Vive that have come up with some interesting rigs to run the cables through, because they're playing a game where they have a huge wide open spaces they need for these full room scale games, but then they're, you know, you don't want to trip up on the cables, you don't even want to think about them, but you still have them right now, and for the foreseeable future, they're probably going to need to have cabling of some sort.
Yeah.
Because the big issue is that, you know, the video, sending the video to it, I would assume. I mean, to do that wirelessly.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bandwidth.
I don't know about latency as well.
So the, you know, I've heard some very clever, you know, running cables through hoops up near the ceiling or just this crazy stuff that people have to do. And that's, it's in this experimental phase where so much of it has to be figured out. So much of the whole idea of, I mean, right now we're in this hybrid environment where you mentioned the teleporting thing. So many of these games, to actually be able to go across a, you know, a landscape, for instance, you can't just keep walking. There's only this little box that you exist in that you can actually move around in. So at some point the game's got to be like, okay, you got to teleport or something. So how do we solve that? Because until you somehow come up with a way to solve that, you always have to make this a hybrid thing where you're moving physically sometimes and then you're pressing a button the other times. And maybe we get to the point where we're just okay with that, because it kind of has to be that way for home use. You know, unless you design a building where the entire floor you can walk on like a treadmill or some insane thing. That's kind of where it has to exist right now.
It would have to be a treadmill or something, because Tommy made the reference of how cool would it be to have, you know, a super powerful laptop and have it rigged up on my chair and be in an open field, you know.
That kind of thing is coming. It's actually already exists.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, I don't care where you are and how open space it actually is, you're eventually going to run out of room. Yeah. And if you're in VR and you're not going to see it, like several months ago, I watched Tomorrowland again with, I don't know if you guys have seen that, but there's one scene in there where she has the pen in her hand and she's seeing the future environment, She's walking in a field and actually ends up in a lake. And then it kind of the future environment kind of fritzes out and she realizes she's walking into a lake. That's the thing is, even regardless of how big your environment is, you're going to run out of space. And if I had a headset on my head and we were doing some driving simulator and Tommy was on the back as the gunner, I'd be scared to death we were going to hit a hole or something, you know?
Yeah.
So it has to be, I think eventually it's going to have to be some sort of treadmill system.
Yeah, which there's the prototypes out there, like on Kickstarter. Yeah. You could go find people that are doing that kind of stuff, too. It's nuts, the potential amount of money you can spend on this VR experience eventually if you really want to. It's going to be fairly limitless on if you have the cash. If you just won the Mega Millions, then awesome. For everybody else, it's nice that hopefully there'll be something that's a little approachable. So, all that being said, thank you guys so much. This is awesome. And I have to say this. So, first of all, just thank you guys for being here, and that's great. But also thank you guys a ton, because the reason you're here is because you're contributing on the Patreon, and that means the world to us. And so this is the first chance that, at least I personally, I think maybe Jamie too, has had the chance to tell somebody, not face-to-face, but, you know, in person, thank you for contributing, and we're hugely, hugely appreciative of that. So, yeah, thank you guys so much, and we're looking forward to doing this again and again and again.
Yes, we...
You guys definitely deserve it.
I can't wait to the point where we've got 10 guys around the table, and it takes more than a half hour. So, that's going to happen, I hope.
Yeah, so it'll be a good thing. And if you want to participate in the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable, go by gamingUncensored.com and click on the Patreon link that's right there at the top of the page. And, come hang out with us, because this is super fun. I dig this a lot.
Yeah, I'll definitely add more of a plug for the Patreon. This has been a lot of fun. So not only do you get to support Gaming Uncensored, but you get to have a lot of fun with you guys as well. So, yep.
Awesome.
What's for next month? Let's change the time so Josh doesn't have to get up at 5 a.m.
I'm good to work. Yeah, next, around whatever. So
yeah, I had no clue when we set that time that we'd be making you get up so early. So yeah, God bless you, man. We love that.
That's no problem at all. Happy to.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun. Well,
thank
worth
you
it.
So much. So cool, Jamie. Anything you want to add before we finish up?
I can't believe we got through the first one. I'm going to do the normal spiel that we normally do. You know where all our stuff is. If you want to send us an email, please do so. I know I'm going to be going back and forth with these guys, but if you want to send us an email, it's gaminguncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. I should have waited and seen if one of them hopped in right there.
Oh, I was about to do that.
You know what? We'll split it up into a segment. And
there you go.
Yeah. I was like, thank God. I was going to throw it out there and just see who jumped.
Right.
See if they were really paying attention.
Man, it's just, it's a reflex thing at this point. I don't even think about it, so. Yeah,
I did see in the email that the voicemail line does work.
Yes, we've got for the next show. We're gonna have something from the voicemail line, which is nice.
All right, so me.
yeah. So thank you guys once again. We love the fact that you're here, and this was a blast. And we're gonna do it again soon in a month. So we'll see y'all soon. So that is the first Gaming Uncensored Roundtable, or the resurrection of the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable. We've had a blast. We'll see you next time. We are out.